fueled and energized, I'm good to go.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
And I'm Bonnie, the dressage princess.
Stacy and Aaron had engagements with friends and family tonight, so...
Wait, they have friends other than us?
I know. It was hard
That's
for me to
rude.
Hear, too. Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
I'm drinking tonight Pinot Noir from Monterey. It's a 2017, and it's called Irony. And it's Irony is inspired by the tale of two brothers who both unexpectedly and happily found their way back to the vineyards and wineries and the family has cherished for three generations. Our Irony Pinot Noir opens with elegant aromas of cherry, plum, and cocoa. Oh, they didn't use an Oxford comma, which is annoying. Supple tannins and balanced acidity are complemented on the palate with lush black fruit flavors and hints of roasted oak. Live life with irony. I don't understand how any of that was ironic, but I mean, I feel like if you're going to name your wine Irony, you could have done a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You could put it in a wine bottle, but like make it beer.
Yeah.
That would make it ironic, I guess.
That would make it ironic.
All right. I am drinking the La Promenade Rosé from Trader Joe's. So it says, take a walk with us. By walk, we mean La Promenade.
Okay.
A wine of Provence, the leading rosé region in the world. The hills of Provence are alive with grapes destined to become rosé, including the Grenache, Syrah, and Cinsault, which constitute the bulk of this particular pink drink. That's kind of cute. Each sip of this dry, crisp, fruit-forward wine feels like a leisurely stroll. I'm not even going to finish reading it, because no, it doesn't. no, it somehow tastes very stringent and watery.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a really great combo, but, you know, I'm not going to throw it away, so.
But it sounds very French. Oh, la promenade. La promenade. Well, I am drinking lemon water out of my Wonder Woman tumbler, and here's why. Don't all come at me. Here's why. I just got back from happy hour, and at happy hour, I began with a very delightful white sangria chock full of peaches and apples. Then I went on to a very feisty Cosmo. It might have been cheap vodka because it was happy hour, but it certainly got the job done. And then I finished off my happy hour with not one, but two espresso martinis because I knew I was going to be up late with y'all talking about that dumb fucker Trump.
Dumb fucker Trump.
So are you still feeling the effects of these drinks, Jean?
A little bit. I think this may be the first episode that I will have started off inebriated and end up sober. Just
wow.
Throwing it in reverse.
Now that's irony.
Yeah, that's irony.
Bonnie, what are you drinking?
14 Hands Stampede. It's a bold red blend. And it says, oh God, it's tiny. Tiny.
It says,
I can't.
The robust red blend kicks things off with aromas of spice and cedar, leading to flavors of cola and cola.
What?
Jesus. A lighter oak regimen shows off the wine's unique characteristics, including lively acidity and a dramatic, enduring finish. Does it taste like cola?
Not really. It actually tastes pretty good. I was expecting it to taste a lot crappier considering the description.
Yeah, anything that's...
Well, that's good that it's only minimally crappy.
Like, it's... I mean, maybe I'm just halfway through the bottle already.
All right.
Not so bad.
What a fucking week, y'all. Ugh, what a fucking week. So, let's start off and... Trump...
Like, where do you even start?
Everybody breathe. Take deep breaths.
Okay. I wish I had an espresso martini again.
It dulls the pain.
Okay, it does. It does.
All right, so let's combine this one topic together. Trump decides that poor immigrants aren't his kind of people, and is he actually losing his mind? So, for those of you that can't keep up with all of the shenanigans, because it is very, very difficult, I don't say that to be condescending to anyone. Trump said pretty much that the Statue of Liberty didn't mean actually give me your tired and your poor, your huddled masses. He meant the people that could actually take care of themselves and stand on their own two feet.
Well, that was Cuccinelli. Cuccinelli said it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's a Trump mouthpiece anyway.
Yes, I'm saying the Trump administration. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he did it on NPR's Morning Edition. And basically, he wants to change the immigration policy to only allowing people over who wouldn't need any type of assistance from the government. Let's start with Gene. What do you think about that, Gene?
I think, first of all, I think it's just another one of their tactics to scapegoat and target brown immigrants. You know, throughout history, there have been lots of immigrants that have come over here needing assistance to get a leg up and to stand on their own two feet. That's essentially the whole premise of America. And that's what that poem, Colossus, by Emily Lazarus is all about. Here is this Statue of Liberty. It's this emblem and symbol of freedom and opportunity. And if you come over here and work hard, you will be able to reap the joys and the spoils of being American. Which that doesn't mean that you have to come over here with all kinds of shit, because if you had all that stuff to begin with, why would you come over to this fucking country with somebody like Trump, who's a complete fuckwad and he's just destroying everything? People aren't coming over here because they have it good somewhere else, first of all. So to assume that people, that immigrants are going to come over here and be able to stand on their own two feet the minute they cross the border, that is just complete nonsense. And it's just more rhetoric that helps us, that helps them, rather, the Trump administration, malign these brown races that are coming over here to seek better lives.
Well, it also feeds into the kind of conversation that they're already trying to have, which is really misleading for the people who don't actually educate themselves on immigration policies. Mm-hmm. It leads people who already have a distaste for immigration for their own bullshit reasons to think that immigrants are completely draining the system, that they're entitled to, different entitlements that United States citizens are. When actually, as we've said on here 1,000 times before, immigrants pay into all kinds of social services that they'll never actually receive.
Right.
So it makes people, it on the surface, just if you're reading, Trump's bullshit tweets because you're part of Cult 45, it already feeds into your destructive and inaccurate narrative that immigrants are draining the system, when that is categorically, one, not what they're permitted to do, two, not what's actually happening. And three, we get back into this again, where immigrants wouldn't be coming here if there weren't jobs for them to do. Why do we keep villainizing these people when we're not having anything to do with the corporations that are paying them to come over here? Like, it's just, the whole thing is at best, it's xenophobic. And, well, no, I should say at best, it's intentionally misleading, and at worst, it's xenophobic. So it's just, I'm so fucking tired of this guy. Like, I can't handle his rhetoric, his bullshit anymore. And I'm so fed up with the people who will do zero research on their own when it comes to what immigrants are actually entitled to and what they take in this country. Because it's not what a vast majority of the Republicans think that they can take and do take. The only thing that immigrants are actually entitled to once they're over here and in the system is, if they're working, they are entitled to SNAP benefits to help pay for food, just like everybody else here is. Right. But they can't get Social Security, they can't get disability, they can't get unemployment insurance, like they can't get any of those things that
right.
that all these people think that they're stealing from them.
Right. And then also people forget about the DACA kids. The kids that came over here at a very, very young age. They were not born here, but they came over basically 2, 3, 4 years old. They have no memory whatsoever about whatever country their parents were fleeing from to bring them here. And those kids have grown up here. And if they are planning to go to community college, why shouldn't they get some sort of assistance to go to community college? They've essentially grown up here. They don't have a piece of paper that says they are American, but they absolutely are Americans in that they are fulfilling the friggin' dream that every American who came here before them set out to accomplish. We come here, we get educated, we build a life, we become productive citizens, and then that's that. But this is going to overlap on what we're talking about with Trump being the narcissist and how he being a narcissist, he needs to create crises so he could swoop in and solve them. And then show his base, oh, look at all these problems that I came in and fixed. You better vote for me in 2020 because look at all the problems I'm solving. When in fact, he's the one that created the problem. We didn't just get an immigration crisis just in the last 2 years. As you pointed out, Jackie, the immigrants perform many important functions in our society. You mentioned once about the migrant workers out in California that are taking care of all the crops. There are so many jobs that are being filled, not because they're just random, but because American business owners want to hire illegal, quote, you know, illegal immigrants because they could exploit them.
Yeah. Well, the other frustrating part of it is I don't know how long we've had or how many times we've been having this conversation for, and you're absolutely right. Immigration is not a new issue. And the reason that it hasn't been, one of the reasons besides just partisan bullshit politics that it hasn't been solved yet, is immigration is a complicated problem. There's layers to it. Anytime that you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people and their different situations and their different life experiences and the different elements that would bring them to this country, it is a complicated issue, whether or not they have family here, whether or not they already have a job here, what type of schooling they have, which is one of the reasons that we've had so much trouble solving it all over all the years. I just, regardless of what your actual position is on immigration, I just wish that especially this administration in particular would treat it with a little bit more humanity. There is a more humane way to react to not just the people at our southern border, but the people who are coming from overseas as well. And one of the things that struck me the most about Trump's comments is he may as well have just said, we'll take white immigrants only.
Well, that is right. What he said.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he said. No, he literally said, the Cuccinelli did, that what the poem is referring to is European immigrants.
Yes.
So immigrants from Europe. And it's white people. And yet, if you read the actual poem, it says, because I'm actually blind, I can't actually read it, but it says, from her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Worldwide. It's literally
that's
right
not
there.
Just Europe, honey.
Yeah,
right. The entire world is welcome to come here.
Well, that's how it should be, because we've talked about this on here before. We have to decide whether or not America is an idea or if it's just strictly a place. And since its inception, it was treated as an idea. As soon as you step foot on our soil, you are supposed to be entitled to the same rights and privileges that the Constitution grants anybody else that lives here.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you, but it hasn't always been an idea.
No, well, what I'm saying is
okay.
the idea of the Constitution, you are supposed to be protected from certain, we're not supposed to be tyrants. We're not supposed to be, mm-hmm. you know, we're not supposed to be run as demagogues. We're not supposed to behave in that way. And I'm not saying that, of course, America has not always been perfect. We look at the Trail of Tears, look at slavery. Mm-hmm. Like we have a plethora. We still celebrate fucking Christopher Columbus for God knows what reason. Like our history has a lot of really dark, horrible, evil spots on it. 1,000%. But as we progress as a society and as humanity progresses, mm-hmm. you'd like to think that we've given up some of those ideals that separated us in the past. And you can't run around all over the world with guns and weapons telling people to take a knee to democracy and this is how you should be doing things. And, you know, we're the beacon of light for progress and equal rights and fair treatment of others. And then in the next instant, turn around and be like, oh, but only others that we have just that one group of people has decided it is fit for it. Like, it's just it's so counterintuitive to what we, the people, we're supposed to be moving towards as each generation progressed through time.
And that's where you start slipping into white nationalism.
Yeah. Stacey, any thoughts?
No, of course I have all the thoughts, but you guys covered everything already. No, I just think it's, people should remember that you're always only one accident or one illness away from being on a social program.
Right.
So absolutely. It's a real high horse you can sit on to say that only people who don't need those kinds of things could come over, because that's just a shitty, racist, as you mentioned, xenophobic mm-hmm. thought that, you know, most people are only one bad thing happening away from being in that same position.
Exactly.
Well, and let's stop pretending that white people are you know, better than everybody else, because as per the several mass shootings that have taken place in the last mm-hmm. few weeks, like, white people we have a real homegrown terrorist problem in this country that is being inflicted by white people. So I don't, I just, you know, racists have always been out there. They've always existed. I just would like them to have to go back into the shadows and the dark corners of society where they have to mm-hmm. meet in secret. And it's embarrassing to say that you're affiliated with them instead of marching up and down the streets with their fucking flags posted everywhere. Like, it's just,
that's the big difference. It's not that it's not, people aren't racist anymore. There's always going to be racism. It's just, it used to be something that you were ashamed of.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or that you, at least that you felt like you should be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Ashamed of, or that people will judge you for it and maybe give you less benefits if you are openly racist.
Right, but if you have the highest ranking leader in mm-hmm. the country who not only supports that coming from other people, but spouts that garbage himself on Twitter and you know, whatever forum he can get his stupid butthole-shaped mouth on, he is constantly promoting division and classism and racism. And so, yeah, absolutely all those fucking racist people are crawling out of the woodwork now because they had to go back into the bowels of America when we had an African American president for 8 years. Yeah. And during that time, it was unconscionable for you to walk around and talk about people of different colors as if they're second class citizens. Mm-hmm. We're you know, this is all part of the Obama backlash. We're still dealing with the Obama backlash that these ignorant fuckers had to hide and go underground for 8 years. And now that they have this narcissistic bigot who, you know, offends everybody except rich white people, you know, they don't have to hide anymore. And as long as he's in power, those people are going to be empowered.
Well, I'm so tired of hearing from, you know, who you would normally consider level-headed individuals try to say, well, no, I don't like everything he says. But,
oh my God!
Hey, that's probably my least favorite thing.
There's like no but. Said,
there is no but. There's no but.
When you're
stop before the but.
When you're talking about, we're not talking about differences in policy issue or differences in economic issues or like, wow, we really need a big infrastructure bill and we have different ideas on how to fucking get there. No, mm-hmm. you're talking about actual Nazis. Like, there is no but before that. Like, I will go toe to toe with you all day about, you know, where we should be pumping money on infrastructure and whether or not we need high speed rails and whether or not we need to, you know, completely upgrade the interstate highway system that hasn't been done since Eisenhower. By the way, it's yes. But I will
but
not.
These are the thing we're supposed to agree on.
Right. I am not going to sit there and have a nuanced conversation with you about the gray areas of fucking white nationalism. There is no gray area. You either are one or you aren't one. And if you're okay with the things that white nationals are saying, you fucking are one. I hate to tell you.
Right. I don't remember reading in the history books about someone who was a bit of a Nazi.
Just a little Nazi. Just a little bit.
Snidge. Smidge. He's just a pinch.
He dabbles in Nazism.
Dabbles.
Yeah.
Dabble. You know, Hitler was a really awful guy, but you know what? He was a leader who really knew how to unite people.
There's good people on both sides, Jean.
Oh, I know. There's some very, they're very fine people in the Nazi regime.
Oh, God.
All right. So, speaking of, what do you guys think about his, and I'm not even saying this flippantly, like I'm saying actual, do you think his mental health is deteriorating?
Yes.
Yes. Well, oh, you couldn't hear us all answer at the same time because we did it in unison.
I think we're all trying to be first to answer yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can we say it louder?
I think it was gone before he even got elected. Did you see his performance in all three of the debates with Hillary Clinton?
Oh my God.
Remember that one debate where he was skulking around and lurking like fucking Lurch from the Addams Family? Mm-hmm. That was the creepiest thing I have ever seen on a public forum.
I thought she was trying to tell me something. She was being Trump.
And it's so creepy. You look freaked out.
No, you're just like, ah!
It was so disturbing. And Hillary Clinton did everything that she could to keep her shit together when this fucking big monster is hovering over her. It was so bizarre.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Me? Oh, no. And the thing is that I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and my husband's watching it and I'm getting, my hackles are rising and I'm feeling it like on my back as he's stalking her. And then my husband looks at the TV. He's stalking her. He's hunting her. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
It was
to intimidate.
It was absolutely terrifying. I think every woman that watched that debate has had that feeling sometime in their life of some man that was deliberately using their size to intimidate. He towers over her.
Yep,
he outweighs her by, 200 pounds?
At least.
Oh, God, at least. But that just weighs into that. I just think that plays in so heavily with this whole him being a narcissist thing. That, I'm large and looming and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Because I think there was a lot of validity to that argument that, like, he is 100% a narcissist. I don't think that he makes reasonable, rational decisions. I don't think he has the capacity to make reasonable, rational decisions. And he's not smart enough, or some reason, maybe the narcissism, unwilling to listen to people that are smarter than him and know more than him.
So let's define... Hello?
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Let's define narcissism so we can actually look at the characteristic traits. So John Gartner, who has a PhD, is a psychologist who taught at Johns Hopkins University Medical School for 28 years, says, yes, the president has malignant narcissism. And what that essentially, he says, Trump suffers from malignant narcissism, a diagnosis that is far more toxic and dangerous than mere narcissistic personality disorder, because it combines narcissism with three other severely pathological components: paranoia, sociopathy, and sadism. When combined, this perfect storm of psychopathy defines the quintessential of evil. According to Fromm, the closest thing psychiatry has to describing a true human monster. Gartner goes on to describe Trump's narcissism. He knows more about everything than everyone and has empathy for no one but himself, paranoia, and his demonization of the press, minorities, immigrants, and anyone who disagrees with him are all signs of paranoia. Sociopathy, a diagnosis that describes people who consistently lie, violate norms and laws, exploits other people, and shows no remorse. And sadism, he takes gleeful pleasure in harming and humiliating other people. He is undoubtedly the most prolific cyberbully in history.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I cannot disagree with that.
No.
I find no holes in that theory.
Mm-hmm. So here's an interesting thing, though. When I was reading different articles, when we were actually, we're doing a thing now where we prepare for the podcast.
we're trying it out. See how it works. Yeah. We haven't committed yet, but we're giving it a test run.
So I was reading other articles where, you know, I think it was like 92% of CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are sociopaths or psychopaths. Like they have sociopathic tendencies. And I hear that a lot in people who defend Trump. Well, he's a CEO. He's a business guy. You have to be ruthless. You have to be cutthroat. You have to be all these things in order to achieve the level of success that he has. What I would say to that is, well, I understand where the whole cutthroat part comes in when needing to be a CEO, because you have to kind of, you know, get to the bottom line and stick to that kind of thing. None of them actually intend, well, I shouldn't say none, I don't know them personally, but the blatant attempt to do harm to others that have essentially, that don't even reach his level of power. Like a lot of the people he picks on and humiliates and are horrible to aren't even in his realm of being able to affect him with anything besides hurting his tiny little feelings.
Yeah.
And then he rails against them and turns his entire cult on them. It's just mind-boggling. Like the majority of these CEOs, I think that they're describing, they can't even be bothered with what the peons think of them. Like they don't,
absolutely,
they don't care, right, what the peasants think. Like that, right, that's part of the whole sociopathy thing. Like it doesn't matter to them because their feelings, they don't feel those kinds of things. Trump, right, wants everyone to like him, and at the same time hates everyone who doesn't worship him.
And I think he's scared. Oh. I think he's actually, yeah, scared he by people himself that challenge him, because I think it makes him wonder if maybe he might be. And so then he lashes out. Think about the toddler. This is like,
I don't
toddlers
think narcissists feel fear.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I agree with you, but I also think there really truly is a small part of Donald Trump who understands that he got in way, way over his head.
Yeah, I don't think he knew he was going to win.
No. And I think every day is an uphill battle to try to convince people that he has some fucking inkling of what he's doing on, yeah, a day-to-day basis. And most of us know that he doesn't. Yeah. Only his you know, his dedicated group of lemmings will believe everything he says. And I want to quote John McCain here, because this ties into a tactic that Trump as a narcissist does. The biggest thing is discrediting our free press.
Mm-hmm.
The free press is there to monitor and investigate and report back to the rest of us what these people in power are doing. And there's nothing more that Donald Trump as a narcissist hates is anyone fucking second guessing him on anything. For the last 40 years, it's been Trump, he's in charge, and everybody is yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. But
yeah,
now
look,
it's
he's got to have his name in fucking gold on every building, yeah, as big as it can get, and as big as, you know, that's not so much about branding. That's just about thinking as much when you turn your name into a brand, mm-hmm, and in your mind it's successful, mm-hmm, your name is synonymous with success. You are success. You are.
Right.
He's got this whole delusion is insane. And if we can hearken back to a simpler time, after the election, when he wasn't actually president yet, we had this conversation about his campaign manager who ended up stepping down. Like, it was somebody who early on was a campaign manager working on the campaign, who wrote an op-ed piece basically where she said this was not supposed to be a serious thing. Not that it was a joke, but it was a, like, look how far we can get, the system's broken, blah, blah, blah kind of situation. Right. And then he won. And then it was sort of like, oops, I crapped my pants. What do we do now? I'm new president. But because of his narcissism and his ego, he couldn't take the step back and say, whoa, okay, I don't want it, though. Thank you very much. This wasn't a real thing. Like, I'm a winner because Trump is success. And, like, and here we are.
Or how about this? How about he wins the presidency? He appoints experienced, intelligent members of his cabinet and then fucking listens to them.
He can't do that because if he does that, that means that somebody else is better than him at something. Right. And he can't allow that to be.
Right.
Look at how many vacancies there are.
Right.
Still.
Nobody,
they're still not completely fully staffed in all of those positions because nobody knows as much as him and he's the smartest and he's the best and blah, 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 blah. Your face looks like a butthole. Your hands are tiny. And you, I don't even know what that thing is that died on top of your head, but somebody should take it off.
Groom it, at least.
Right? He needs that dry shampoo in that.
He does. Listen, bro, you're bald. You're bald.
Right.
And all those gold trumps all over the place, that just makes someone with a tiny dingle feel better.
Yep.
Right? Oh, so wait, Jackie.
Yeah.
Can I get this McCain quote in?
Oh, sorry.
I thought, yeah.
All right, just to finish up with his tactic, his gaslighting, his really strategic maneuver to try to get everybody to disbelieve the free press that we've all relied on for the last, 150 years.
I believe that's called strategery.
Yeah, strategery.
If I remember correctly.
John McCain said, and this was from Forbes magazine in a recent article, John McCain was quoted as saying at one point, if you want to preserve democracy as we know it, you have to have a free and many times adversarial press.
Yes.
Without it, I am afraid that we would lose so much of our individual liberties over time. That's how dictators get started. They get started by suppressing free press. In other words, a consolidation of power. When you look at history, the first thing that dictators do is shut down the press.
Yep.
Go ahead. I have one thought.
Yeah.
Literally, John McCain is who Donald Trump wants to be and can never be. And it makes him crazy, which is why he hates on John McCain so badly. Because John McCain has earned and has all of the respect and admiration from the entire country that he has craved and he's never gotten. The approval that he's craved and never gotten.
Right.
Yeah, you look at McCain, even Democrats respected McCain.
Right.
I almost voted for him. I was going to vote for him.
I don't agree with his policies, but I can, but a freaking hero and somebody who you genuinely believe is doing the right thing based on what his beliefs are. And I can respect that.
I absolutely respected him.
Yeah.
Except until he chose Sarah Palin. Then I was like, okay, you're done.
Well, they pushed him
into that.
That was the death knell. I was actually really concerned.
But at least John McCain, he would explain his policy position to you. It wasn't just one of these lemmings that are like, well, Trump says it's good, so it's good. If John McCain was supporting something, he would at least have, you may not agree with the reason.
Right.
But he had one.
He was a good and honorable man.
Well, I thought he was.
And you never would have stooped so low as to disparage someone for being held captive or to have, you know, dragged somebody through the mud when they are on their literal deathbed or to talk shit about him posthumously. So that's a big difference.
He was trying to tell the crowd to settle down and not boo Obama.
I remember that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I remember that. And that's one of the reasons why I was going to vote for him until he chose Sarah fucking Palin.
Yeah, Sarah Palin is the worst.
Totally.
So do you think that the Republicans will ever grow some balls and actually turn on Trump?
No.
Oh.
What do you think has to happen? It's pretty clear to everybody that his mental health is deteriorating, and if he were anybody else, I would actually feel sorry for him because it's pretty obvious because of his slurred speech also, not just his narcissism, but I genuinely think his mind is starting to go.
Yeah.
And you can tell because he mixes up words more than just the average person. We all mix up words. I'm not one of those people that I'm going to, you know, nitpick every little tiny... People say the wrong thing sometimes, and it's okay. I say the wrong thing. But
Try menopause brain for a day.
But he's doing it more consistently. You can hear the slurred speech that is actually happening.
Yeah, it's bad.
So what is it going to take? Right. Okay, collective crickets.
Well, it has been starting slowly. I mean, it's slowly. You've seen people, like, they're not running again. That's one thing. They're not running
again.
That's
not helpful, though.
It's not helpful. No, I'm not saying it's helpful. I'm saying that, like, they are starting to, like rats deserting a ship. They're not running. You get the occasional, like, what's the guy, Walsh? I just put an op-ed out saying he was sorry.
Oh, yeah, bullshit. Oh, he's not even office anymore.
I know, I love
how these Republicans have big balls when they no longer have to worry about winning their constituency. Fuck you.
Yeah, why don't you
fucking come out when it means something, you jackass?
I don't think they're going to do anything. They're not going to do anything because of abortion.
Judges in.
I think abortion is such a big deal that they're going to support Trump no matter what, because it's better than having a Democrat in office, because they want to make abortion illegal.
Well, you know, killing all those babies.
Right.
Oy, yeah, speaking of, I got
one thing. I have one glimmer of hope here I would like to infuse right now. I am all about Amy McGrath down in Kentucky.
Yep.
Same. If by some miracle Amy McGrath can defeat Mitch McConnell, that will turn everything around.
Yes.
It may not get all of the results that we want, but if we could get obstructionist in chief Mitch McConnell out of office, things will be a lot different.
McCall, I don't
dick it,
think
dick
that she's
gonna.
I don't know. You know what? Lindsey Graham just gave me a stiff one and some McCall.
And I think that's her only hope. I do have hope for Kentucky. As our long time listeners know, I listen to a podcast called Pantsuit Politics. And the two women on it are from Kentucky, and one of them has always been a conservative, and the other one's a Democrat. Well, Beth, the conservative, came out about 3 weeks ago, and she actually gave up her Republican. She switched over to being a Democrat. She registered as a Democrat. But she got one. She said it was both a very big. Now, and to be fair, she was always a never Trumper. Like, she's always been. And she's very reasonable, more moderate, I think. She's pro-choice. She's pro-LGBT. Like, she's just very much a fiscal conservative, really. Mm-hmm. Like,
which is no longer the Republican Party.
But what I was saying is, I think the only reason I have hope for this upcoming election, and I love Amy McGrath. I was pulling for her in 2018 when she was running, and I think she has even more support now. But I support any female veteran that runs, because I think they have a really unique look at the world and policies and foreign policies that a lot of other people don't. But what she was saying was, or what my point was you will never convince, you know, the 40% of people that voted for Trump to not vote for Trump. You will always get them. Trump won the election because of independent voters. That's it. And I think he's really lost the independent voters, because they're the ones that actually, they're not watching Fox News, even though they tend to skew Republican. They actually read multiple news sources. They have a very appropriately named independent streak in them. They want to know both sides. They want to understand what's happening. And I think he's losing them in droves. So good. I know that you hear it's the squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know, you hear these loud talking pieces, you know, Tommy Lauren and all these other dingbats who are just over there screaming that Trump's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Why are they all blonde?
Because they fit into a very specific character. But I think he's lost the independent vote was my bottom line.
I hope so.
Let's discuss for the next 10 minutes gun control again. And more specifically, not just gun control, but San Jose did something kind of interesting where they're going to start requiring that gun owners carry a pretty significant amount of liability insurance.
Really?
For anybody who owns a firearm. And I actually think one of the reasons I was a Republican for, you know, 6 years was that I do think the government should be smaller, and that, you know, there's no, they shouldn't be interfering. But I think this is one of the areas. Look, if you have a swimming pool, you're supposed to carry insurance for it. We carry insurance for our cars because you can hurt someone. Like, we work, Stacy and I work for local governments. We carry insurance for everything.
Everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have a tool on your property that is specifically designed to take the life of another person, whether or not you handle it well, whether or not you're good with it, whether or not you go through all these safety courses, you should be required to carry insurance for it. And I think this is kind of a no-brainer, and I do think that it will kind of dissuade certain people from owning multiple firearms, because they're going to be required to carry more and more insurance. Just like, mm-hmm. if you want to own 15 cars, you have to pay for insurance for right. all of those cars. I also think that the idea of taxing them to a greater point is a good idea as well, especially if that money is going to be used to pay the CDC to do more research on gun control, because I can't for the life of me understand why we wouldn't want data on gun violence. Like, why wouldn't we want data on cancer? We want data on AIDS. We want data on school dropouts. We want data on everything that we do, because that is how we make decisions in this country. But no one wants to fund data on gun control.
Because they know how it's going to... They know what it's going to say. They know how it's going to go.
So I have a really serious, like, this is my big thing. I have been raging about this for weeks, months, years, I don't know. And what I finally figured out or decided is that we're talking about this wrong. We keep saying we need gun control. We need gun reform. We need gun law reforms. We don't need to control guns. Guns just sit there and do nothing. We need to reform gun ownership. So we need gun ownership reform. The people that are owning the guns need to be controlled, not the guns. So, like, when you have the mental health issues, yeah, we need the mental health screening. Yes, we need that. We need the insurances. We need training. My riding coach, she just today was telling me about how she went and got her concealed carry permit, and it took nothing. She was able to walk in.
I got mine.
Yeah. She walked in, did not have to show any proficiency with the weapon. She did not have to show any ability to hit a target accurately in order to carry a gun with her at all times.
See, that's crazy.
She didn't have to do
me.
Anything. In fact, she only owns the gun because her husband wanted the gun himself, and so he bought it under her name. She bought it. It sits there. It's in the house. She doesn't carry it, but she
That's
has her
crazy.
Concealed carry permit, and she'd had to take no kind of proficiency exam. Didn't have to prove that she can shoot it or unload it or load it even. Or aim it.
When I moved out here, and this is one of the reasons that I get very frustrated when people talk about, you know, California mm-hmm. and Chicago and New York and Washington, D.C. and stuff, where they have much stricter gun laws, is those gun laws are not universal. So, like, the Gilroy shooter, he bought his weapon in Nevada, and he walked right into the San Jose area and was able to shoot up the Garlic Festival. When you look at, you know, the Las Vegas shooter, he bought guns all over the country before he went to Las Vegas and you know, rained fire down upon a bunch of 500 innocent people. When I lived in California, getting a gun is not an easy task. There's a cooling off period. There's all of these steps that you have to go through in order to obtain a firearm, which there 100% should be. Now, yes. When I moved to Pennsylvania, I walked in to get my concealed carry permit, and I don't actually ever carry my gun. Mm-hmm. It's just a way that if I wanted to go to the shooting range or whatever, I knew I was covered. If I ever got pulled over, I had licensing saying that I could hold it. Also, I live in a rural area, and a weapon is more for protection from animals and stuff than anything else. But it took me less time to get my concealed carry permit than my marriage license. I applied for both on the same day. It took me 3 days to get my marriage license and 20 minutes to get my concealed carry permit in a state that I had only lived in for 8 months.
Wow. It takes so
evidentiary. Did you forget your concealed carry?
It takes more evidentiary
your
proof.
Gun ceremony.
Oh, sorry.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that you're a veteran, Jackie?
No, it could, when we went, so Lex owns a firearm also, and when I went in with her to purchase hers, because she wasn't comfortable holding my gun. My gun is a little bit heavier. And I told her, you have to be, I don't want you handling a weapon that you are not comfortable with. So yeah. Let's find one that you are comfortable with, because if the situation ever did call for it, I want you to be able to use it safely and effectively and whatever. So we walked into this gun store, and she, of course, she picks out this ridiculous, anyway. It was.
Is it pink?
It's light blue. It's a whole thing. Like, it's. Anyway, so.
Can it fit into her UGG boots?
I went to pay for it. She doesn't have it concealed. I went. It sits. We have a. There's a safe next to our bed that you have to enter in a digital code to even get to it. Like, we don't just leave them laying around the house. So I paid for it, and I was like, okay, so we come back and get it in what, like a week? He goes, no, you can leave with it now. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? What if she wanted to kill me? What if she was real mad? Like, she could just, there's no cooling. And he's like, no. The background check took no more than 30 seconds. He got on the phone. I was like, oh, this is going to take forever. Because in California, it takes forever.
Yeah.
Like, days and days and days. No, he got on the phone. Yeah. Hung up. He was like, yeah, you're good to go. You can go ahead and leave it. Do you need any ammo? I was like, I'm sorry. What is happening here?
It takes more to own a hedgehog than it does a gun.
Yes.
You can buy a gun.
Would you also
hedgehog?
Like me to drive you to the mall so you could shoot it up?
Jesus Christ.
Here's the thing. You have the right to bear arms, mm-hmm. but should everybody do it? Nah, because guess what? I've never held a gun. I don't know how they work. I don't know how to do anything with it. Do I have the right to have one and carry it around and do whatever I want with it? No, I have the right to drive a car, too. I mean, not really, but you know what I mean. But I can't do it, like you said, without insurance and a license, and the vehicle needs to be registered, and all of these things need to happen. So, yeah, we have the right to lots of things, but procedurally, there are some things that you need to do in order to make that happen. And I don't think that this should be any different. I like the insurance thing. I like the taxing thing. I think ammunition should be more expensive.
Mm-hmm. And maybe have limitations on the amount of ammunition you can buy in the course of a year.
And some sort of national registry.
Yes.
Because one of the things with the Las Vegas shooting was the fact that he had gone to several gun shows in different states and purchased just massive amounts of guns and ammo. And yeah, that's a fucking red flag when someone buys enough guns and ammo to shoot up a million people. Like, that should be a red flag. But if no one's tracking it.
And at gun shows, they don't have to even follow the same background checks that a gun store owner does.
Oh, then where's the car shows? You can just buy cars and not have to insure them.
I would be happy if we could even get universal background checks, red flag laws in place, and required insurance, because these people's families who have to bury their 13-year-old who haven't saved up the money to have to bury a 13-year-old should be able to get compensated financially for it when something like this happens.
Well, agreed.
The thing I think is bullshit is people always have the argument of like, well, people are still going to carry them illegally. Right, but when there's a legal process that works, mm-hmm. then us going after the people doing it illegally, you won't feel like your rights are being infringed upon. That's the difference.
Right.
Well,
right.
Also, here's the other thing about that, is that, like, there's also people that, even though it's against the law for me to walk in and take your shit, but people that are going to break the law are going to walk in and take your shit anyway. Mm-hmm. So do we not have laws about walking in and taking your shit? No, we have the laws because it's a
law. But people still break them.
And let's be real clear. 60% of gun deaths are suicide. So if a person actually had to wait or you had to actually prove that you had it secured in this, how often do you hear about these young men who get a hold of their parents' weapons because they weren't secured properly?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying that the vast majority of gun owners will, 99% of gun owners will never hurt anybody. They are law-abiding citizens who just want protection and want to protect their families. Not, but that 1%, like, I'm sorry, if your teenage son or teenage daughter, who is, let's say they're the best kid in the world, let's say they're freaking awesome, they're outstanding, what if one of their friends over who is suicidal gets a hold of your weapon and kills them? Mm-hmm. Like, you should want to protect yourself and your family from those types of instances.
My mother had a police special, and it was on the top of the refrigerator when we were kids. Because back in the day, it was in the 80s. Come on now. We all just, like, no one thought about these things. So mm-hmm. she had her gun. It was a, I don't know, police special, whatever that mm-hmm. thing is. And top of the refrigerator in the kitchen. and one of my sister's friends came over and stole the gun.
What?
Well, yes. Here's the thing, too. Well, if you require people to have insurance for these things, look at it like a pool, okay? You can have a pool in your backyard, and you need to carry insurance for it. Now, if you put a fence up around that pool, you get a reduction in your insurance yes. costs because the likelihood of an accident happening goes down significantly. Could right. it still happen? Yes. Sure. It could still happen, but the likelihood is reduced greatly. So if you have to carry gun insurance, but then if you have a safe and you prove that you have a safe and you prove that it's locked up, you get a reduction in your insurance costs. Like these little types of these little cost factors create a safer environment. It's one of the reasons we have to have car insurance, because it creates a system where there's retribution when accidents happen, and it covers for people who don't have any other means to pay for these. Or does it stop car accidents? No. But do you get a reduction in your cost if you go 6 years without a car accident? Yes, you do.
Like 6 years without a mass murder, and you get a reduction in your car insurance.
There you go. That's okay, awesome. Can I give you unpopular? This might be. Whatever. I'm a little tipsy and I'm feeling sassy. It's been a hell of a week. So here's the deal. People in my somewhat limited experience don't, the people who have guns actually for protection and they're following all the laws are not the ones that are usually, you're taking my guns away.
Right.
What I see are the ones who want them as fucking toys. You need to have and feel the need to have 18 million fucking guns to use as a toy whenever you want, because it's your right to have one for you to play with. And not to protect yourself. And I think that's bullshit. I think, I'm sorry, if you have slightly fewer guns, or maybe it's a little bit difficult, not difficult, but a little bit more work for you to get some more fucking toys to play with, and that maybe stops one of these shootings from happening, I think it's worth it.
Well, here's the other thing, too. People need to stop pretending that the Second Amendment was written in a way where you can have as many guns as you want. Yes, the Second Amendment states that you are entitled to have a weapon, that you have a right to bear arms.
Arms, any kind of arms.
But that does not mean there was no stipulation put on how many or how violent or how deadly those arms could be, because they had no concept of it at the time. So to try and say that the Second Amendment protects your ability to have as many and whatever kind of weapons that you want is bullshit.
And to hide behind the guise of being a constitutionalist when you know very well that that is a living, breathing document that was meant to be ratified. I'm sorry. Like, you can suck a bag of dicks. I don't care. If you want a gun to protect yourself, that is very all well and good. I trust you, Jackie, as a human being who I know has experience with those sorts of things and is responsible and whatever. But if you're just one of these guys who, like, you feel like you, I don't know, are compensating for something, so you need to own 50,000 guns to play with on the weekends, I'm sorry. Kick rocks. I don't give a shit. You have to wait 3 days to get it. So what? I'm sorry. Cry me a river. Take a class. Learn how to use it. I think you should have to prove that shit. I'm sorry.
Well,
I just
so
think
Kai, who lives in California, I mean, we all know Sweet Baby Angel Kai, when he was getting his concealed carry permit in California, I had to write him a letter of recommendation. He needed 3 letters of recommendation from people who weren't related to him in order for the state to say, you are trustworthy enough to have a concealed carry permit in this state.
Which is fine. What's wrong with that? Unless you're trying to commit a hasty crime.
Right.
I don't feel like that's a huge inconvenience.
Right. I would have been happy to get it. I was I was like, oh, I'm going to go fill out this paperwork. I don't know how long it will take, blah, blah, blah. It cost me $25 in like 20 minutes to get my concealed carry permit in this state.
Let's be really honest. I'm almost 50, which means I am premenopausal. Do you actually fucking want me, who has never shot a gun, I've never held a gun,
the hasty procurement
you
of a weapon for you is not a great
thing. To be able to go out and buy a gun, get my concealed carry in the same day, and then be able to walk around in Harrisburg and Mechanicsburg in the traffic with a gun in my hand? Do you want that?
Whatever.
It's not even you. It's...
It should be me.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't want some guy who just found out their wife is cheating on them to be able to go purchase a firearm without thinking.
I don't
thinking,
know how to aim a gun. I can go out and buy a concealed carry right now, I can't aim a gun.
Or you want to, that's so crazy. Could you imagine if I came to Pennsylvania and was like, gun, please, and they just handled it? Like, no,
right.
I can't. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to load it.
I don't be sitting there waving it in the air and shooting people because what the fuck?
Even if somebody taught me how to load it, how to shoot it, what are the chances I'm going to hit the thing I'm aiming at?
I'm going to take you when I come out there. We're going to...
Yeah. I did tell Kai I would let him take me.
I want to go shooting. I've never shot a gun before.
Never even touched one.
Okay, so Jane, you have to come out here, and then we can all go out shooting, and Jackie can teach us.
We can shoot.
That's a long car ride.
Yeah, whatever.
So
suck it up.
What's everyone's obsessed? What is everyone obsessed with this week?
Can I talk about the Jeffrey Epstein thing?
I was hoping someone would. Yep.
All right. So here's the thing. The thing this week is that immediately, because he was found dead in his cell. And he was supposed to be, you know, monitored 24/7. Everybody automatically assumes that there's a conspiracy theory behind it. Now, here's why the conspiracy theory, I don't give a shit about it. Because Trump and Clinton, according to what they've been accused of, both of them in their pasts, theoretically, they could both benefit from having this guy taken out. So I don't give a shit about conspiracy theories. The guy is dead. He committed suicide. If you could find out that it was more than a suicide, that it was a murder disguised as a suicide, fine. Go ahead. Do your thing. But if you can't, and it is what it is, a suicide, good riddance. The fucking guy is worth over $500 million. He has no children, except for the ones that he raped. So let his victims raid his goddamn estate.
And
get the recompense that they fucking deserve being trafficked by him for all those years.
I fully agree.
I agree.
Yep, I agree too.
Every single one of them should get whatever portion of that estate that they can, you know.
Even the people who the statute of limitations has run out, they should all be entitled to a percentage of that estate. And it should all go to them. They should auction off all those houses. It should all. I don't care if each of them end up with $100 million. It should all go to them.
Yes. Absolutely. And what is this fucking bullshit with a statute of limitations on rape? Come on, can't we do better than that in the 21st
century?
Right,
it's almost 2020. There should not be a statute of limitations on rape. It's absolutely ridiculous.
There shouldn't be on rape, child molestation, anything. Yes. There should not be a statute of limitations. I completely agree.
Well, you know, they should have told somebody.
Oh, yeah.
That is my least favorite fucking thing I've ever heard in my lifetime.
I still haven't actually, named the people that raped me. I still haven't done that to this day.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a thing.
Statute of limitations is over anyway.
Way over.
So it's fine.
So nobody's going to believe you anyway because
they won't.
You're right.
And that's the thing. My husband gets mad because he's like, well, why don't you name him? I'm like, what the fuck good is it going to do for me to name somebody? Because all it would have done then would have been to keep me from working. And now it does nothing besides bring me back into that situation and contact with those people.
Right, and because what other crime do you have to prove you're a victim?
Right, that's
but
the one.
I know I was raped. Mm-hmm.
Only when it involves women or children do you have to prove that you're a victim.
Yep.
And even if you can prove that you're a victim, you have to prove that you weren't actively participating in your own rape.
Or in some way culpable.
That's what I'm saying.
Because, you know, why did you go to that party? Didn't you know?
Why were you dressed like that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you should have known what to expect.
Were you drinking? Yeah.
Like,
fucking
our own our own fucking president said when they were for those of you that don't know, rape runs rampant in the military. Rampant. And he said, well, what did you expect when you put, 20,000 women with 600,000 men? For men not to rape women.
For you not to rape anyone,
Respect of the fact that there's soldier right beside you.
That's just another one of the fucking twisted, disgusting things that pour out of that guy's anus-shaped mouth.
Yeah. Fucking fuck.
What are you obsessed with, Stacey?
Oh, man. If I'm going to be completely honest, I'm obsessed with Orange is the New Black. We want to do an episode just on that, so I feel like I can't talk about it because some of you are not caught up. But if I definitely was one of those people who lost interest sort of after the fourth season. And oh my gosh, this last season was just, yeah, I can't even talk about it, but I am 100% so much obsessed with Orange is the New Black. And I am just today, I'm having a Lizzo moment today. So I'm going to say if it's a non Orange is the New Black thing, I'm obsessed with Lizzo. I think her music is so positive and it's so body positive and about self-love and self-care. And she is just the shit. And her songs make me feel good.
What about you, Bonnie?
My garden. Her garden. Because, you know, when I went out for 10 days, I come back and there's a million pounds of tomatoes. And I've been sitting here the whole time stringing green beans. Because if I don't, I will never get them done and put in the freezer. This is the Perry County and me coming
out.
Yeah,
that is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's very country. Very
country. That was very sad.
I know. I'm from Miami. What happened to me? I came here and I'm like.
Now you're stringing green beans.
Like a freak.
Like a stay-at-home wife.
When the apocalypse happens, Bonnie's going to know what to do and how to preserve food.
That's true.
She sure is. Because you know what I would know if I tried to find green beans? That you have to do anything to them before you taste them. Thank God for Bonnie. I'd starve.
This week, I am obsessed with, again, my kid. We took him to the National Aquarium the other day, and his face looking in those big tanks of the sharks is just, like, my favorite thing.
We took him to the aquarium.
Yeah, we took him to the aquarium. Aww. And he's walking everywhere now. Like, but he walks like he's an 80-year-old man, and it's very funny. Like,
he really toddles everywhere.
Yeah. It's
a little Frankenstein walk with their big head.
Spread out. He's like side to side walking.
But he's very proud of himself. The only downside to him walking is he's literally into everything. Like, everything. But he's, taking him to the aquarium was real cool. He was very impressed with all the big fish and the sharks. And then, him just walking everywhere now. I mean, the good thing about him walking is it does slow him down a little bit. He was a very fast crawler, very fast. It's like a little exorcist baby, but now he's a little bit slower. So, how's everyone's wine?
Not good. I mean, like, it's doing the job, because, like I said, there was a bit of a little, you know, it's a bit stringent. But clearly it did the job, because I'm feeling it, but it doesn't tastes good. I don't want to keep drinking it.
But you will. Because you're a team player.
Right. I'm no quitter.
Gene, are you sober yet?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what. The two espresso martinis I had are doing an excellent job keeping me awake way past my bedtime.
Good. You need another drink for the post show.
Yeah.
Oh, God. My liver is crying.
Bonnie, how about you? How's your wine?
Surprisingly much better, because here's the thing.
They always are.
Usually, if you read an ad for a horse sale ad, you would read this wine bottle the same way, and you would think that it was going to be including lively acidity. That would mean it's burning your tongue off. And then when it says a dramatic, enduring finish, it means that you'll never get the taste out of your mouth. That's how horse sale ads would go. Mm-hmm. But this wine is actually fairly drinkable.
Drinkable. That's what we aim for here.
I would say it's probably a Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe a Wednesday wine. I'll go a Wednesday.
Okay.
Mine is a Monday.
Yours is a should have fucking drank it wine.
Monday.
Yours is my day sucks so bad, I'll drink anything. Rubbing alcohol.
And it did, so that's why I'm still drinking it.
There you go.
Mine's a solid Thursday wine. It's
really?
Yeah, it's good.
TGIT? Little TGIT? Is it like a scandal? Scandal TGIT wine?
Oh, definitely a Thursday wine.
Thursday wine,
much better than my Wednesday wine.
Okay. So that is it for us this week, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we will catch you next week when we talk about, I don't know, pop culture or something. Oh, probably. No, we have, I think, yeah, we have an interview next week, so we'll be doing that.
Yay.
If I remembered who it was, I would say their name right now, but I don't.
Well, you're drunk.
Womp
you're
womp.
Well, it's somebody from Bold Strokes books, right?
Somebody from Bold Strokes books.
There you
It'll
go.
It'll be a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Bonnie, thanks for coming on with us.
Bye. Thanks, Bonnie.
And we'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.